Oh, that sound means it's time to talk to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, as we do every Thursday morning at 9:30. Brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Well, it might be 9:36 here, but where Brian Haney is, it's what time, Brian?
Well, it's only 7:36, but it's in Vegas, and nobody's up at 7:30 unless they have a chance to talk to Wade Gerstner. So,
well,
that's what's going on out here. But we're excited to be on with you, my man.
Well, there's a long line of people that want to talk to me at 9:30 in the morning. Yeah, right. hey, we do appreciate the time, and you are in Vegas. KU taking on UNLV tonight. But before we talk about that one, certainly a big blow to the team yesterday with a key injury to one of their bigs.
Yeah, Udoka Azubuike out for the year. Really, really disappointing because it not only hurts you the rest of this season and makes you even more thin at an already pretty thin position, but I think that the growth and maturity and progress within his own individual game that he's going to miss out on over the next few months is something he just can't get back. And that's not to say that he won't be a beast to start next season, because if the surgery goes the way it's supposed to, he'll be at full speed in the summer months. We'll have the summer to really keep ramping up the progress that we saw building by the week over the course of this season. But, I mean, these were invaluable league opportunities going up against quality major conference bigs night in and night out that would have really helped sharpen his skill set. And I hate that for the young man, you know. And he's not eligible to be drafted until 2018 anyway, so they were going to get him back regardless. And so certainly it hurts you in terms of big men depth and possibly winning it all this year. But more than anything, it stunts his progress. And, you just hope that he can make the most of his summer months and be the guy that they're going to count on him to be next year as the starting five man. But even more falls on the shoulders of Landon Lucas now. Carlton Bragg has to play bigger than he's been playing. And Mitch Lightfoot and Dwight Colby have a lot that trickles down to them as well. So it's certainly something they can still overcome. This doesn't derail the national title hopes when you have the best backcourt in America and a game-changing talent like Josh Jackson. But, man, you could have used those five fouls a game in the post, and you certainly could have used his ability as a rim protector. Not that he was an elite-level shot blocker now, but he had the biggest, highest ceiling of anybody on that back line defensively in terms of protecting the rim. And so it's a costly, costly blow, and one that, you know, we'll see how they respond tonight, but definitely a shell-shocked group to see that happen day before yesterday.
It was noted, and I remember this as well, when I went down with a friend of mine to the Final Four in New Orleans, that year when KU, back in 2012, made it to the championship game, that was a team that didn't have as much depth as a normal Bill Self team, and they made it all the way to the national championship. So as you said earlier, it's certainly a blow right now, short-term, but long-term, KU should still be fine. They still have a good chance to make a run in March.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Landon Lucas has been showing signs in recent days of really coming on and being the player we thought he'd be as a fifth-year senior. And I think Carlton Bragg can give you so much more than what you've gotten at this point out of him. So there's a lot to be excited about, in terms of the potential that still lies within that position. I really wish Dwight Colby was closer to 100%. And, you know, Bill Self's been quick to point out that Dwight's a terrific kid, but could he have gotten after his ACL rehab a little bit harder? Could he have approached it with a little bit more vigor on a day-in, day-out basis? I think he probably could have, and that's why you don't see him at 100%, and quite frankly, not close to it. He still drags his leg a little bit. He doesn't have the explosiveness they thought he would have over a year removed from the surgery. And Coach Self has said he's about 80%. That's a guy you really need now. And we saw him when they were in the CBE in a game versus Georgia when foul trouble mounted, step up and give Kansas some quality minutes, 20 of them, and had four block shots. But he's doing it on like a leg and a half right now. And so hopefully, this really fuels his fire, not that you can just flip the switch and suddenly be at 100%. He may not be at 100% until next year. But they're going to have to lean on him, whether he's at 80, 90, or 100. And Dwight Colby's a guy that's going to suddenly log many more minutes than what you would have thought a week ago. And that might have been a guy that was a fallout of the rotation candidate as benches start to shorten this time of year. Suddenly, they need major minutes from him. I say major. They need significant contributions from him, and that's a guy that hopefully can answer the call.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest today, brought to you by Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit, Anderson Insurance Agency. You give them a call, 738-5701. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Let's go back to the Davidson game for a moment, because I thought that was a really good game for KU from the standpoint of a really good scheduling move by Bill Self. We've talked about it, you and I, before when you've been on the show on previous Thursdays, that KU usually tries to find some of the best mid-majors, and that'll help their RPI, and those are good tests because they more than likely will face a mid-major, whether it be the first or second round of the NCAA tournament. What I liked about this is I didn't like the fact that KU was down at halftime by one, but at the same time, it was nice to see how KU would respond. And yes, they had a home crowd there at Sprint Center in Kansas City, but Davidson, the team that like to spread the floor, they shoot a lot of threes, and those are the type of teams that can really scare you or pull off a big shocking upset in the NCAA tournament. I thought that was a really good experience for KU, even though they're down at halftime. And then the second half, I thought they turned up the defensive intensity, and they really did a good job of pushing Davidson off the three-point line.
Yeah, they did. And Davidson's a team that entered with more threes attempted on the season than twos, and yet they were only shooting at 31%. Though Self was quick to point out that they wouldn't be shooting that many threes if they weren't good at them. It's not like Bob McKillop is going to go down and swing and just blindly, forcing his team to do something they're not good at, meaning they were due for a game where they caught fire early. And the question was, could they sustain it throughout the game? And in the first half, the way they were reining in threes, Aldridge in particular, you really felt like, this could be the prototypical upset bid. But you mentioned, Kansas' defensive effort in the second half and trying to run them off the line a bit. We also saw, I think Davidson wear down, quite frankly, over the course of the game. And so the big run began. And, you had Josh Jackson again turning in a huge game. And Bill Self said he was a couple of buckets away from really having that breakout game that the leading sports center talking about. And Frank Mason, in what was kind of a pedestrian night for him, still went for 18 points with 6 and 7 in the other two columns. It seems kind of ho-hum, but that's what you can come to expect out of him night in, night out. I thought Mekhi Luke was great in being more assertive at driving the ball. He equaled his free throws attempted total for the entire first 10 games of the season, all in that one night. And that was something that he talked to us about on the Jayhawk Network pregame interview that he was really trying to work on, is being more aggressive and assertive and taking on the opposition, taking it to them in order to get contact and get to the line, because he knows if his team's free throw numbers collectively are going to go up, they've got to get their best shooters to the stripe. I think we saw that in the second half and throughout that game as well. So all of those were encouraging signs versus Davidson. And, we'll see. Carlton Bragg, I thought, came back and looked good with 7 and 8. 8 rebounds, and again, that's a guy that, if he was the number 14 rated player coming out of high school and a McDonald's All-American for a reason, and while he's not a back-to-the-basket big or a guy like Udoka that's going to be a big five-man center presence, he can give you a lot more than what you've seen, and so hopefully we really see a spark lit underneath him with now the Udoka minutes being gone, and maybe we'll see him play up to that potential that so many were oozing over 2 years ago.
The matchup tonight is UNLV. You're in Las Vegas, as you've already made clear there, and it's pretty quiet early in the morning there in Vegas, although some people stay up all night long, Brian, and then it could be possibly very loud as well. But Brian's there in Vegas covering KU at UNLV tonight. That'll be a 7:30 pregame and tip-off 8 o'clock tonight on your home for the Jayhawks, North Central Kansas City, 96.3 Lake. I watched UNLV play against Duke. That was Duke just absolutely annihilated them, beat them by 49 points. I see when UNLV play a little bit against Oregon recently, it was a game for a half, and then Oregon pulled away in the second half. But the thing that stands out to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like UNLV really struggles offensively.
Well, they don't have a true point guard. They're still scoring 74 a game, which for a team that only had 3 scholarship players in late spring when the coaching changes went down, I think they've actually done more than what many would have expected. For those that don't know the situation, after they made the move to hire Chris Beard from Little Rock, who's just taken his team to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament, Texas Tech comes calling, his former employer. He was an assistant for Bob Knight for about 10 years there, and he leaves them at the altar. And so they actually hired 2 head coaches in one offseason, Marvin Menzies being the ultimate replacement. And Menzies comes after a 9-year stint at New Mexico State, which he won 198 games and had 111 losses. And he was a former Lon Kruger assistant at UNLV, so they had some familiarity there. But the situation he inherited was he had two scholarship guys and one guy that was thinking about leaving. And so the way they describe it, they had 2.5 guys on the roster. Well, he convinced that half guy to be a whole guy and stay. And then he had to go out and just pluck whatever he could off the scrap heap of the JUCO ranks. And so, to your point, yeah, they don't score it exceptionally well. They don't have a true point guard. And yet, the fact that they've won 7 of their first 12, even though some of the losses haven't been pretty, I think it's probably more than what some expected, given the fact that they lost 2 guys to the NBA draft, pretty much lost their entire roster, and went through 2 coaching changes in 1 offseason. That's a lot for anybody to undertake, and I think Marvin Menzies has done a pretty dang good job considering the circumstances.
So this will be the last game before, of course, Christmas and then the holiday break, and then KU will open up Big 12 play on the road next Friday at TCU. So this is a good time to kind of assess the team so far. Certainly that opening loss to Indiana, KU's been on a roll since then. But what's your feeling, your personal feeling about this basketball team, and how, I mean, where are the areas that Coach Self and you, have, I'm sure, have talked about this on Hawk Talk as well. What are the areas of concern? Of course, we know the front court now with Ozebuki out. That's going to be a big thing. I think we already know that. But are there some other things that we haven't talked too much about that Coach Self's a little bit concerned about as they get ready for Big 12 play?
Well, you know, free throw shooting has been a concern throughout. Right now they're up to 60% as a team. I'm not at all saying losing Udoka is a positive because there's so many things you're not going to get with him going forward. But that's one area where he was the Achilles heel at 38%. And it was a bit of a liability to where they weren't playing him late in games if it was tight because of that. Not that they've had many tight games late. But, yeah, that's one guy that was bringing down that column a little bit that won't anymore. Now, there are 10 other categories you would love to have him in, so believe me, I'm not saying that they're better off there. But that is one area that I think is gradually going to go up. And I think we could see them shoot 70% from this point forward the rest of the year, which is kind of that baseline mark that Bill Self shoots for and hopes he gets teams that shoot in the mid to upper 70s collectively. But I think they can be that going forward, not just because Udoka is going to be removed from the shooting numbers, but because I think Josh Jackson is working on his delivery at the foul line, and sometimes he's leaning forward or leaning back, and he's been more consistent with his pre-shot routine and his delivery, and he'll be a guy that you'll see those numbers go up. He's currently at 56%. He needs to be a 70% or better guy, especially considering he's been in the line 54 times this year. So that's something that can get better. Rebounding can get better, and now you lose a guy that in the Duke game gave you a beast inside that even Duke couldn't contain in terms of the 12 rebounds he ripped down in the garden. That, to me, is the glaring concern of Udoka Azubuike, that and his potential on the back line defensively. Because when they went up against a blue blood on the biggest stage to date this season, he was a talent that really jumped off the screen and really stood out 2-3 feet above the rim, plucking those defensive rebounds out of the sky. Who's that going to be now? You know, can Carlton be that guy? He's not the physical presence that Udoka is. Can land and play with his hair on fire a little bit more? We'll see. But to me, those are concerns in the rebound game. And then obviously Coach Self, his calling card has been defense throughout his Kansas tenure. You know, 9 of his 13 years, they finished in the top 8 nationally or higher in terms of field goal percentage defense. And while they've held the opposition to just 37% shooting from 3 and 39% overall, I think they can be even better on that end of the floor at every spot defensively. And so that's going to be something on the second half of the season wish list as well.
All right, Brian, time for an off-the-wall question. You ready?
Sure. Chris, is Vegas-related?
What's that?
Is it Vegas-related?
Oh, no, but I could have done that. Well, it could be. Let's see. Let's see if we can connect the dots here. You're making me work overtime, man. Christmas is coming up on Sunday, as you probably are well aware of. The off-the-wall question is, and what are you doing, Chad? You're laughing over there. What's the best? No, I already had the question. I'm just trying to connect the dots with Vegas, and now you're throwing me off, Chad. Quit distracting me over there. All right, so the question is, what's the best gift that you've ever been given by Santa Claus?
How about that? Okay.
A trip to Vegas. Claus. Boom. We're done. That's great. Good job.
Does Santa give trips to Vegas?
I don't know. $100 coupon to the buffet table. I don't know.
I love it. Best gift by Santa Claus. Wow. Santa Claus was pretty generous in my household growing up. And I got into sports memorabilia collecting when I was in high school. I remember one Christmas I got an autographed Drew Bledsoe jersey because I was a Patriots fan, still am, lifelong Patriots fan. And the fact that it was Bledsoe shows you I wasn't some Tom Brady bandwagon jumper. And so I got an autographed jersey, authentic, stitched, everything. I didn't even know they made those in the North Pole. I don't know how Santa had access to Foxborough and getting that sign. I'm sure he sent one of his elves down there. But that was pretty cool of Santa to get that done, and that was one of my all-time favorites.
All right, extra credit question for you so I can appease you, Mr. Haney. That is, what's the best thing and the worst thing about Vegas, in your opinion?
Wow. Well, the best thing is I think that a lot of folks come down here and they can cut loose and kind of carefree. I don't want to use the cliche of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas thing, but they live a little bit more extroverted and will have some fun, make a memory for those that usually are pretty tight-buttoned. And I think that's kind of cool that you can, check it at the door for 2 days and come out and have some fun with your buddies. Not too crazy, mind you. Right. But the worst thing is the people that don't have their limits and don't know their limits. And I see some people all the time at the blackjack tables whenever I come out here that are just getting hammered on the cards. And they dig back into their wallet and just keep throwing everything they have on the table. And realistically, some of these people probably don't have the money to be doing that. But they don't know when to say when. They don't know when to get up and step away from the table and move on. And I think that's kind of sad when you see the people that are just so convinced that run is coming and their luck is going to turn, and suddenly they run out of money. And unfortunately, you see that far too often out here on the Strip.
Yeah, that is sad. Hey, Brian, have fun in the Bahamas. I was really jealous of you for a moment, but then you told me it was all work. You won't be able to play much in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I'm heading there as soon as the KU game's over. Calling a bowl game about 12 hours after the end of our basketball game, and it's three time zones away. So praying for safe travel and on-time travel so I can get out there for Old Dominion and Eastern Michigan in the third annual Bahamas Bowl. So thanks for that. And if there is any time on the beach after the game, hope y'all come back a little less pasty for the holiday season and get to hit the beaches of Atlantis when it's all said and done.
Well, safe travels to you. Merry Christmas to you and everyone. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time, getting up early with us from Vegas today. And we'll talk to you again next week, man.
You got it, my man. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every week on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.